как раз вот мы сейчас будем говорить про Link 2013. Большое спасибо, что вы к нам сегодня пришли. Меня пригласил Борис, мой коллега.
Communications product and platform. Myself, my name is Taymour Hussain. I'm the global business lead for Link, working covering the world. And it's a pleasure to be here to join you and to be able to talk to you a little bit about some of the exciting opportunities that we have with our new generation of unified communications product. What I would like to do is I would like to go through the session and the slides, and I'd like to hold off the questions until the end, if possible. We also have a demo towards the end of the session, so you'll get to see our product and some of the capabilities that we will be talking about. So after the demo, if you have any questions, we'll be happy to take those, and we will be here, the team, together after the session as well to take any of your questions if you have. So moving right along. Before I start my presentation, I'd just like to take a quick poll of the audience. How many people have had prior experience with Link, either using it or deploying it and so on? Okay, so most people, so that's very good to know. I understand that we have some people who may not have had Link experience, so we'll make sure to include you in our presentation, in our talk as well. So let's talk a little bit about what major investments we thought about making when we were talking about and planning for Link 2013. As you know, Link 2013 is our fifth generation product. Our unified communications platform is starting from LCS 2005, and then we had OCS 2007, 2007 R2, Link 2010, and now finally we have Link 2013 that was just released, I believe, a couple of months ago. So it's our fifth generation product, so it's very important to know where we're coming from, what our priority areas were, and what we're really focusing on going forward. So there's four pillars that I'd really like to talk about today very quickly. Excuse my mic, I'm trying to adjust it as we go along. One of the pillars that I'd like to talk very importantly about is a video. Video is a very big, important concern for us in Link, in collaboration as we go forward. Multi-party HD video and the very rich meeting experience, very immersive meeting experience is what we aim to deliver with Link 2013. So that's one of the key pillars we'll talk about. Mobility is a very, very big, important role for us in Link 2013 as well. We understand that traditional workers are moving towards being more mobile, having a more rich device ecosystem, so we want to definitely make sure we cater to that as well. Also, integration across Office. Office happens to be our most prime real estate. It's one of the most productive applications that people use today. So we want to make sure we leverage that capability with our communications and collaboration suite as well. So we'll talk a little bit about what that means. And then we had a very interesting event happen last year when we acquired Skype. We paid a lot of money to acquire the largest consumer-based platform for communications, which is Skype. And we'll talk a little bit about what that means and what we're enabling in Link 2013 to bring the Skype family into the fold of our communications. So those are some of the pillars that we'll talk about a little bit in detail during this session. So let's talk about meetings in video. What are we doing, or what did we enable for meetings in video as we go along? The first thing I want to talk about is how immersive our experience now is from a collaboration and video perspective. For those of you who have used Link 2010 and are experienced with what the experience is like, you'll notice that now we have a gallery of videos. So we want to make sure that you're not only engaged with one person, but you're engaged with all the right people when you're actually collaborating with them, when you're in a meeting with them. And it's not just being able to see them, but to be able to see them in high definition, if they have high definition video capability, or to see an HD photo of them with a very immersive experience so you feel connected to the people that you are collaborating with. That's a very important tenet with us in Link 2013, and we've brought that to life Some of this capability is what you will see in our demo later on in the presentation. We also want to make sure that we understand that everybody, every individual is unique. They consume content, they collaborate and interact with content very differently. So we allow people controls to be able to see what they want to see, to interact with the meeting, whether they want to have a speaker view, a gallery view, whether we want to share one of their desktops, monitors, programs, whiteboards, polling, a lot of very rich different controls for every participant in the meeting. And we want to make sure we deliver that experience all the way to the end user and let them choose versus having standard templatized views for collaboration. So that's very important as well. The one other thing that I really like about Link is our reach story, right? So one of the things that I always heard back from our customers was Link meetings are great. They're a very good way to collaborate and communicate with each other, but they're limited to Link clients or the Link attendee client in 2010. What we've done in 2013 is we've extended our meeting experience all the way down to the browser. So if somebody wants to be a first-class citizen in a Link meeting and they want to be able to use just a browser, they can now do that in Link 2013. If you invite an anonymous participant or a federated participant to a Link meeting and they want to join it not using a Link client, they can now do that and have full fidelity, voice, video, presentation, sharing, IM presence, everything that you can do on a Link full-body client, you can now do through a browser. So that's a very, very important experience that we're bringing to the table with Link meetings as well. One of the things that's really key here is we realize that the life cycle of a meeting or the life cycle of a collaboration session isn't really the 1 hour or 30 minutes that the meeting is active. When we schedule a meeting, the life cycle of the meeting starts at the time of scheduling. So when we conceptualize an idea that we want to meet with people, we have some thoughts that we want to put on paper. And that's really when a meeting starts. So we've incorporated the ability in Outlook and in Link to have shared notes associated with the meeting. What this means is when you schedule a meeting, you can have a shared note file, a OneNote file, that you can put on a SharePoint site. And people can actually add agenda items, add discussion topics to the meeting as they go along. This provides a lot of cadence towards when you're actually collaborating for the meeting. For example, I set up a meeting the other day, 1 month before the meeting time. And when I actually joined the meeting, I was surprised to see that a lot of people had added things that they wanted to talk about in that time in the shared notes. So when we were in the meeting, we could actually immediately drive into the agenda rather than spend time talking about what we want, what we're going to accomplish. So that's very important as well, to provide those controls for a presenter organizer when you are setting up a collaboration session. We now also allow the ability to customize the meeting invite. This was another thing that we heard a lot of feedback around, being able to customize the invite, to add company logos, to add some custom text to the invites as well, to really make the meeting your own from an organizational perspective. So some great feedback that we've incorporated in there as well. I talked a little bit about in the beginning video and how important it is really for Link, that video is delivered correctly, delivered superbly. We've done a lot of investments, and we'll talk a little bit about that in my next session at 6 o'clock, where we've been part of forums to deliver high definition video capabilities, but in the right way, choosing the right partners, choosing the right codecs, making sure that 1080p video is scalable, not for only from a device perspective, but also from a protocol codec perspective as well. So we've done a lot of investments to make sure that you get the best possible video experience, regardless of what device and capability you're using. So that's also a very important thing that we'll talk a little bit about in detail later. As you can see from this particular image, we have a lot of really rich ecosystem partners that are coming together with us on Link Video. Partners like Polycom, Lifesize, Crestron. We partner with Tanberg and Cisco and some of the other really big players in video to deliver a really good interoperable story. And definitely with our acquisition of Skype, we're going to bridge that to the consumer space as well. Really, our goal is to cover the end-to-end video spectrum. And I think Link 2013 makes great strides to get close to that effect. Okay. One of the big switches that we've made, as you can tell, is we've switched over our video codec. By default, it used to be RT video. We are now using H.264 SVC as our standard video codec, both for peer-to-peer and for conferences. This is a very big change from where we were in Link 2010. Very important change to be able to be more interoperable with some of the video solutions out there. We don't want to provide video in a silo. Okay. The other thing that we've started to do is we've started to use hardware acceleration for video. What this means is that to deliver high-quality, very intense video experiences, we don't necessarily need to worry about software decoding and software encoding. We're going to let some of that happen on the hardware, on the GPU, on the video graphics cards that most modern computers now have and very advanced ones. What this means is earlier where you were where you had a very high requirement for PCs to deliver HD video, to decode and encode HD video, now we can rely on lesser processor, but more rely on the video graphics interface off the actual machine of the device. This allows us to be able to leverage mobile smartphones and tablets to deliver that HD video experience as well. I'm going to talk a little bit about mobility, and mobility is a very key topic. It's my favorite topic, so it's you know, it's great to be able to present that. Mobility does mean a lot of different things to different people, so I hope to cover everyone's definition of mobility, including my own as well. So one of the tenets that we've always had with Link, really, is to be able to span across multiple devices. Right. It shouldn't be a platform that you use on your laptop and your PC only. Right. We've always had the ability to do Mac and in some form or the other mobile clients. But we really want to extend that experience across all devices, all modalities, all workloads, and all use case scenarios. That's really our goal. And we've realized this with Link 2013. So with Link 2013, we're happy to introduce the concept of having all the workloads, including voice and video, on mobile platforms, on tablets. We already had it on PCs and Macs and laptops and so on, and across the browser as well. So if you see all the particular devices, all the particular modalities that you would want to use for your communications need, they're available to you now with Link 2013 across all the devices, right? We have some more things that are coming up to show you some of that capability as well. We have a very rich Slate experience, a very rich tablet experience, a very rich Windows 8 user experience that we've delivered with Link 2013. You will get to see that in a little bit in our demo, so I'm not going to cover it in too much detail. But we are striving to provide this immersive touch-based experience for Link. We've re-engineered Link to the Windows 8 user interface experience. And we want to provide this throughout the app. And you'll notice that most of our mobility applications will have a very similar look and feel, a very, very similar fluid UI. And that's what we're trying to provide to you through this interface. And we'll see that in the demo later on. Once I'm going through these screenshots, you'll actually notice a few key trends. One of the things that you'll notice is the UI looks very, very similar across all the devices, across all the platforms and the OSs. We really strive to provide rich user experience, and I think we got it right. So we want to now replicate that user experience across any device that you may be using or you may be used to. So this is the experience for the Windows Phone, which is our premier flagship mobility product. We're also going to provide this experience on the iPhone, which will have very similar experiences, all the workloads, but a very, very intuitive UI, as you saw on the Windows Phone and the Windows 8. Android will have the same capabilities as we talked a little bit about as well. As you can notice, voice and video over IP is one of our premier drivers, and we will be providing that on all three platforms, Windows Phone, iOS, and Android. One of the things that we're trying to do is we're trying to optimize for the form factor. So while mobile form factors have a great sort of ergonomics to do voice and video together, tablets, it turns out, are great consumable devices. So if you're consuming content, if you're trying to be a participant in a meeting or share some content to other meeting participants, tablets are really, really great devices to do that based on wherever you are, whatever location you're doing that from. So we're embracing that form factor and optimizing the client for that form factor to be able to provide those rich quality experiences as well. This is just a screenshot of our meeting experience on a tablet. As you can see, we've got a gallery here of standing row and sitting row. Some very, very immersive experiences here. You'll see a little bit more of this in the demo when we do some swiping and some touch experience to figure out what other modalities are actually present in this meeting. But some very key concepts here to be able to provide you really rich collaboration experiences. Let's talk a little bit about voice, and I may have lied a little bit about mobility being my favorite topic. I think voice and mobility are both my favorite topic, and this is why I have a session about it tomorrow as well. But voice and mobility are both key tenets here, and I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about voice. Voice is another one of those things where sometimes people get a little bit lost on what we mean by voice, right? And what we really mean by voice is the ability to communicate between two people or multiple people using audio, right? So this is not just geared towards link client to link client or link endpoint to link endpoint. We're talking about link to any other audio party, whether it's a PSTN-based device, whether it's a federated device in another company, whether it's a consumer endpoint like a Skype endpoint or Windows Live, whether it's any kind of endpoint that can do audio, we want to be able to provide audio experiences from Link to that endpoint. That's really our goal, right? In Link 2010, we made a lot of major investments to provide PBX-like functionality so that enterprises could move away from traditional telephony environments and use a rich unified communication solution to provide that calling feature functionality to their employees and to their organization. In Link 2013, we've taken that further, right? We feel like we've got a very, very good story, a very resilient architecture to replace PBX or telephony-based environments. But we've also taken that further to include the consumer base. So we're going to federate with audio with Skype. We're going to do a lot of audio federation with other companies, B2B federation. So really providing a very closed loop or a closed loop of audio communications all the way from link to PSTN endpoints. So we've got a very good story there we'll talk a little bit about later as well. One of the key concepts here from a business value perspective is really comes from the basic tenet of link, which is anywhere access, right? So we don't believe in tying you to VPNs or office boundaries and trying to figure out where you can use link and how you can use link. We feel like you should be able to use it wherever you are, wherever you go, without having to VPN back into your organization, without having to worry about how the logistics of this work. Whatever link endpoint you're using, whether you're using it on a mobile phone, a laptop, or a tablet device, you should be able to just be able to connect to it and make that phone call and drive that conversation and communication modality that you want to work on. That's one of our key tenets, and this is what the business case is for using a rich UC solution like Link to be able to do that as well. We also are providing a much superior audio and video experience. And I'll tell you one of the few things that we're doing to be able to do that. We have a qualification program for what devices you can use. So we have a lot of devices that are optimized for Link. We have about 98 different kinds of devices with 18 different partners that create those devices. This will allow you to get the best possible experience with Link. Because we want to do some wideband audio, we provide some very scalable echo and jitter and latency numbers to our manufacturers so they can engineer the audio device to provide that experience, because it's very important for us that you have that. And also goes for the video devices as well, high definition cameras, latency codecs, and all of that kind of stuff as well. So really providing you a very rich, superior experience from both an audio and video media capability experience. We also have this network health monitor, which is very interesting as well. So we understand that sometimes we will be dependent on network connectivity to provide a great experience. And I like to take this example, actually, from the cell phone industry, which has been a very successful industry. Very interestingly enough, sometimes when I'm making a phone call, I have low signal. And the other person, I cannot hear them. Their voice is choppy. And I end up apologizing to the person. I say, you know, I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry you cannot hear me. Even though it's not my fault, it's my provider's fault. But I end up apologizing because this is something that we have compromised on. We compromise that, I understand. I'm in a weak signal area. And so my quality will be low. So we've provided that same experience with Link. If you're in a network that's, very, very bad signal reception, either from a wireless or you're over satellite and so on, you'll get that experience actually in the network health monitor. So you can set the right expectation and have the right expectation about what that audio quality will look like as well. Right. So that's a very key, some of those very key subtle changes that we've made to be able to provide that experience back to you as well. We also understand that, call management is a very important thing for most people. They want to control which devices they will use for audio at which given time. So we provide some key tools to end users to be able to either simultaneously ring multiple devices or to be able to forward calls to multiple devices and voicemail handling features and so on. A lot of rich capability, especially when you couple it with Exchange 2013 to provide some of that functionality as well. So call handling is all done by the end user. It's not administrator based, it's end user choice. And we provide a lot of capability to be able to do that as well. Here you see a screenshot of Exchange. You can create call answering rules. So you can say, if I'm getting a call from person XYZ, I want this call treatment versus if it's at this particular time, I want a different call treatment. It's all possible to do with Link 2013 today. One of the other key components that I didn't really mention as a pillar, but I really should, is resiliency. We always talk a little bit about the voice workload as being one of the most critical workloads in an organization. We've gone through about 100 years of picking up the phone and expecting dial tone, making sure it's there. It's something we take for granted every day. Voice typically carries an SLA of 5 nines. And we want to make sure we cater to that SLA. So the back-end architecture for this has been really, really well thought out to provide resiliency, to provide redundancy, high availability, disaster recovery in all particular scenarios. Hardware failure, software failure, servers, data centers, you name it. We can architect the solution so that it's very resilient through all of those particular situations as well. So that was a very important thing for us. We also understand that the underlying network is a core dependency of media. So we provide a lot of call admission control, a lot of rich experiences to mark packets so they're prioritized over the network and cooperation from networking vendors such as Cisco and Juniper and Aruba Networks and so on have provided us a baseline of we can do these great things with Link and make sure that that media is optimized across the entire network and across the stack. Very powerful story as well. I'm going to go ahead a little bit here because I want to make sure I want to get to all the important aspects of Link before we go on to the demo. The other thing that I wanted to talk a little bit about is the core of Link. We understand that IM presence, what we're now calling people presence and chat, centers around the core fundamentals of Link, and we want to make sure we capitalize on that as well. So as you know, Office, Exchange, SharePoint are key properties, and at the corner of all of these is Active Directory, which is our identity services and identity marketing. And what we want to do is we want to be able to leverage all of those assets and integrate them very deeply into Link. Right? We want to make sure contact aggregation is a key focus for us. People now have a lot of different sources for contacts. They have social media. They have their personal contacts, their work contacts. We want to make sure we aggregate that information to be able to provide all the capabilities that people need to have this. I talked a little bit about high definition. It's a big, big key word for us here in Link 2013. We want to provide high definition video. We want to provide high definition photos as well in that experience. So that's also very important to drive that interaction, because I don't know if it's the same for you or not, but when photos started to show up in Link 2010, it was an automatic experience for me to want to collaborate more with people because I could put people's faces to their names. So very important concept there as well. Okay. We also have this contact card that's now uniform across Office. I'll show you a little bit of this in the demo as well. But we have this contact card that works across all of Office, any document, any application, any modality that you're working with. If you hover over somebody's name, you will see this information. And then within this information, there's multiple ways to communicate with this person. Very rich capability that's seamless across across the entire suite. You can also change your privacy relationships as well. People tend to have or people tend to put different people in buckets or groups. So you can actually put people in buckets and groups on dictating how they contact you, what information they can see, and what happens when they try to reach you if you're in a different status. So very, very rich feature functionality, modularity that you can provide to your contacts as well. One of the other things that I'm going to build a slide out. One of the other things that's really important here is integration with SharePoint, right? There's two kinds of communications here. One kind is I know who I want to talk to and how do I find them, right? That's easy, right? Because I know I want to talk to Mariusz. I look him up over Link, and if he's available, I'll call him. If he's not available, I'll try to contact him in another way. But the more challenging one for me is a lot of times Microsoft is an organization of 106,000 employees. A lot of times I don't know who I need to talk to, actually. So that actually is very, very important because it takes me a long time to find out the right person I need to talk to sometimes. Now, with our SharePoint integration, I can actually look for people not only based on who they are, but what they know. SharePoint has an aggregation of people's skills, of people's expertise, of people's projects, things that they've been working on. So because we have this document management software that collects all this information, I can now from Link find out I want to talk to a Windows Phone 8 expert, for example. I can just type that in the skill search and it will go back to SharePoint, find me all the Windows Phone 8 experts, sort them out by their availability, who's available, who's closest to my time zone, and display that information to me so that I can choose to contact someone. So when I am contacting them, they will have context as to where I'm coming from, and I can actually introduce myself and say, hey, I have a quick Windows Phone 8 question, I have a customer that I need to get this information out in front of, and they can help me. I don't have to go chasing down somebody for 2 or 3 days. Very, very powerful functionality that we've built with our SharePoint integration as well. So we're going to talk a little bit about the experiences. I'm going to show you the demo, so I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. Archiving and compliance is another key aspect. I want to make sure that everybody's aware. We're very, very involved in making sure that we have compliance processes. We provide the right amount of compliance to organizations that want to keep track of their communications. So we've built a lot of rich archiving facilities, both with Link 2013 and Exchange 2013, to have a discoverable archive store. So for example, my email, one of the best things I like about my email is that it's searchable, it's indexed, right? So if somebody sent me an email 6 months ago, I can go ahead and search for it, and I can find out what happened there from that thread and follow up on it. The same goes with my IM conversations. Most of my conversations now don't happen on email, they happen on IM. So I can go ahead and search my IAM history because it's part of the same exchange policies that we have in my conversation history and find out what's going on and what happened, what that conversation was, because most of my conversations are now on IAM. So we're building a lot of rich functionality for you to be able to archive and provide compliance to this data as well. Another thing that's really important that we've added in Link 2013 is persistent chat. For those of you who may be familiar with this feature, it used to be called group chat. Essentially, this is a feature which allows us to build chat rooms where people can come in and out of, and shift workers, investment bankers, mortgage brokers, people who need to have an ongoing thread of communication about a particular topic or a particular event. And that conversation needs to be made available to everybody who wants to see it in a central environment. So we have the capability built right into Link 2013 client, where you can have persistent chat rooms available to talk about any topic. It can be administrator driven, or you can have chat room administrators who can create new rooms for people to collaborate in. So think about this as rooms of places where people collaborate over IAM. So we're going to talk a little bit about this later as well in my next session coming up in the evening as well. But I think one of the key things that we miss sometimes is that it's not about Link really, because Link is a platform. It's not a product. It's not the end game. The end game is much, much more than Link, I think. So with Link, we allow you the ability to enhance your unified communications as you do them today. But really, the idea is to take this to the next level by integrating other things that you may do which require communications. For example, if you have lines of business applications like SAP or Dynamic CRM or some sales or inventory or retail applications, healthcare applications that you want to integrate Link with, we have thousands and thousands of great examples of customers doing just that, which we'll talk a little bit about in my next session as well. But really to be able to take the platform, use the very rich SDK that we've built, and integrated it with your line of business applications is what we want to do as well. And lastly, federation, right? This is very, very key, and for me, very important as well, right? So this is just a sort of a track record of where we're coming from a federation perspective, right? We've provided, public IAM connectivity with Windows, AOL, Yahoo, and some of the other consumer-based services for the last 8 years. We're also providing business-to-business federation, so other people who have Link or OCS can talk on all modalities, not just IAM. It's IAM and presence and voice and video all over the public internet to be able to provide that functionality with meetings and so on. And then we added some XMPP functionality as well to be able to add more services like GTalk and all the other XMPP-based services that are out there as well. And now we're actually adding Skype to that federation list as well. So imagine this. Imagine you need to talk to anybody, whether you want to talk to your suppliers, your vendors, your family, anybody that you want to talk to, your Link endpoint, again, whether it's on a phone, a tablet, a PC, a laptop, or a desk phone, your Link endpoint becomes your gateway to talk to anybody, regardless of what service they're using or what client they're using. That's a really powerful story. Right, and we deliver that today with Link 2013. I want to talk a little bit about Link Server and what changes we have and what's coming up there. I'm not going to spend too much time on that because my colleague Nikolai has a session, I believe, right after this one that's going to cover this one in much greater detail as well. But here's some of the focus areas that we wanted to provide. Mission critical, we want to make sure it's reduced maintenance, single platform, single experience to be able to deliver that service to people. Voice is a big deal for us. We want to make sure we're enterprise grade, we're mission critical when it comes to voice. We want to make sure that you understand what it means to have one unified communications platform versus multiple fragmented products that try to integrate with each other. Very, very important concept. We're also increasing the scale from Link 20 to 2010 to 2013 quite a bit. We're now allowing 20 front-end servers. We also have some scale, other scale implications that we have that Nikolai will talk about from a virtualization perspective. We provide a very rich monitoring solution, a very rich monitoring state to be able for you to manage your environment. We understand that deploying is not not where the buck stops, but you have to operate and maintain and manage the solution as well. So we provide you a bunch of tools to be able to do that. And then, of course, the federation and the anywhere access reach story that we're building right into the server itself. In Link 2010, what you required was a separate XMPP gateway, perhaps a few separate other things. We're building all of that into the box in one single platform. We're consolidating a bunch of roles that I won't get into right now. So with that, I'm going to end end the slide portion of the presentation. We'd really like to get into the demo here to show you some of the capability and functionality that I talked about. So with the help of some of my friends and colleagues and Link, of course, I'd like to be able to show you the capability. I apologize, the screen switching takes a little bit of time. It takes about 5 or 10 seconds to actually happen. So while the screen is being switched, I'll talk you through it. So this is the Link 2013 client that we were seeing in our slides. And as you can see, it's a very rich experience from the get-go. You have a lot of information to consume as you look at the client as well. You have your colleagues. You have their sort of notes. For example, this gentleman is Southern California, Pacific time zone. We have some status messages from these people. We also have their availability information at a glance, their pictures. And all of this information that we really need to be able to communicate with them. You'll have to excuse me. This is a Russian language client. It's not really, I don't really speak Russian, but we'll try to make the best of it as well. So you'll also notice that one of the things that we wanted to really build was we wanted to keep the same UI concepts that we had in Link 2010, but we also wanted to take this a little bit further and have sort of a more touch-friendly interface as well. So now when you hover over somebody, you have these beautiful little buttons that are very touch-friendly but also very mouse-friendly to be able to communicate with people, and then you have the ability to sort of dig more deeper into them as well. I mentioned a little bit to you about the contact card that we will talk about, and this is the example of the contact card. This is the contact card that you will actually see across office. Wherever you hover over somebody's name, you'll be able to see their information, their notes, and so on, all their aggregated information. This particular gentleman I don't have in any social network, so we don't have their aggregated information. But you can actually see the time zone that they're in. You have multiple ways to communicate with them over mobile, over work, email, and so on. And I have the ability to do that from one click from one of these communication modalities as well. So very rich experience right from the contact card as well. So what I'm going to do actually now is I'm going to show you the Metro client as well. And the I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to say Metro, so I'll try not to say that again. But it's a little bit of a hard transition for us. So the Windows 8 user experience client as well. So my colleague over there has a Windows 8 machine, and he's got the Windows 8 client up. And this is the same client that runs on the Surface and all of our Windows 8 slates and tablets as well. So as you can see, a very rich client experience, very immersive sort of picture functionality or groups, people, and so on. We're going to see some communications and how that works with the Windows 8 experience as well. So I'm going to go ahead and find Boris, who's my colleague here with the Windows 8 client, and I'm going to send him a message here. So as you can see, you get the Toast pop-up notification that he clicked on, and immediately he's brought into the conversation from that perspective. So he's talking to me now over Link. I'm actually going to ask him to add another person to the conversation, because I don't think this is a topic that two of us can cover together. So I'm going to ask him to add my colleague, Mariusz, to this particular conversation. So as you can see, a very rich touch experience from a Metro client. And he's now going to look for Mariusz, who is probably not on his contact list because I think they just met today. But still, we're going to have a collaboration session here. So as you can see, just like that, he was able to find Mariusz, and now Mariusz has been dragged into the conversation. And now we have a three-party communication happening from Mariusz's perspective as well. So now that we have this three-party IM conversation, good to have you here. We realize, or I realize, that this topic, again, is very, very interesting and very deep for us. We cannot share the rest of this topic over IM. So I would like to really escalate this to a modality. Yes, what topic? Actually, it's a great topic. I'd like to escalate this to a modality that's more friendly for us to have this communication. So I'm going to go ahead and start my video here. And actually escalate this into a conversation that involves video. And I apologize if there's any feedback because we're very close proximity to each other. But what you're going to see now is you're going to see actually a video experience as I showed you before as well. You see Mariusz's video. You see my video. My camera is a little hazy. I apologize for that. And you see Boris as well. Boris, can you say hi to everyone? So yes. So you see this video experience as well from a Metro client experience, and then Boris can swipe to the right to be able to get to the IM session if he wants, and he can stay on the video. If he goes in the IM, he sees the least most active speaker, and if he goes back to the video panel, he'll see the video as well. So I'm going to switch back for a quick second to show you what this looks like on the desktop rich client. To be able to provide that as well. Now, we saw how easy it was for Boris to add my colleague Mariusz to the experience. Mute your mic, yeah, thank you. So we saw that capability. This is what it looks like on the rich client experience, and I can actually have that same experience. So what you're seeing right now is we've actually replicated what people see on the Windows 8 user experience, the desktop rich client, and we're going to do that same thing for mobility, for tablets and so on as well. So very, very good experience here. Mariusz, you look great, by the way, don't worry. So what I'm going to try and do now is I'm going to go ahead and add another participant to this particular meeting. And the reason I'd like to do that is I'd like to show you what the experience is like to... you know, Microsoft people, we have this tendency to talk about user experience. You must have heard me say it about 10 or 20 times already. And it's very key because a lot of people don't understand what I mean when I say user experience. The ease of which we do communications is very different than any other vendor that I've seen. As an example, very subtle, small things. If I want to add my colleague Nikolai into this meeting, there's no hoops I need to jump into. I need to find him in my link contacts, which I did, and I can just pick him up and drag him and drop him into that communications window, right? And if I pick him up and drag and drop him into the communications window, it says I've invited him, and just like that, he's on the call, he's joined with audio, he can see our video. It's a great experience. In this particular example, Nikolai doesn't happen to have a camera, so we're actually just seeing his picture showcased to us as well. So it's all a really great experience, and then I have a lot of rich controls to be able to do real things with Nikolai. What is this? Mute. I do want to mute him. So I have a lot of rich controls. I'm sorry, I had to be translated menu because I don't read Russian. So I have a lot of very rich controls to be able to do this as well. Now, let's say that this particular meeting, while it's going on, I need more collaboration into this. So what I've done just now is I've added a whiteboard to this particular meeting. And the reason I've done that is because I realize that now we need to sort of talk about something that's further going to help us solve the problem, the big problem that we're having. So we now have a whiteboard in place. And on this whiteboard, I'm sorry, I'm drawing a silly person here. But the idea here is that we can collaborate together. Somebody else is drawing an ear on this person, not a very nice ear, I don't think. And also we have a lot of other ways that we can actually collaborate on this. I hope that one day Microsoft people, when they are demoing this product, they will use it for something serious. Because every time I see somebody demo a whiteboard, they always draw something ridiculous. you can see the collaboration capabilities of having a whiteboard functionality over there as well. So speaking of something serious, I think my colleague Mariusz is going to take over. He doesn't like what I'm sharing. So he's going to actually now take over the sharing and share with us something that he wants to show that, of course, relates to our topic, to the reason why the four of us are in this ad hoc collaboration session. So Mariusz is going to bring up an Excel sheet. And while he does that, I'd like you to, you can insert pictures into this whiteboard. And then after this whiteboard session is sort of expired or gone, you can actually save it, archive it in the recording of the meetings and so on. Which reminds me, I also actually want to go ahead and start the recording of the meeting. So what I've actually done right now is I've started the recording, and you can actually tell that this meeting is now being recorded. That's what it says in Russian. Yes, that's correct. Very good. So now the meeting is being recorded. What this means is all capabilities, whether I'm doing IM or voice or video, any of the collaboration that we were doing, the drawings and so on, and also anything that will be shared, uploaded to the meeting and so on, will be shown in the meeting as well, in the recording. So now you can see Mariusz is sharing with us an Excel sheet. It's not a very intuitive Excel sheet because it's the agenda for TechEd Russia, but it's still a very great experience for us to be able to do that. And I can have this really rich, immersive experience to be able to provide a content-based. So what I'd like to show you is the, just one last thing I'd like to show you is the, what it looks like on the Metro Windows 8 user experience client from a sharing perspective as well. As you can tell, my colleague Boris has the Windows 8 user experience client up, and he's seeing the same experience. He's seeing myself talking, he's seeing Nikolai, who's the last active speaker, and he's seeing the content as well. And if he swipes to the left or the right, he'll be able to switch between the video, the content, or the IM. It really depends on how he wants to consume and how he wants to interact with this particular content as well. So with that, I think we've concluded our demo as well. Yes, we're right. Are we joining this meeting here? So we have one more thing to show you. I apologize for ignoring the third participant. I talked a little bit about this earlier as well, where we have the rich experience from a web browser. So we're going to show you a web browser join the meeting as well. And I want to just make sure you see the experience for yourself. You see this is a browser window. This is Windows Internet Explorer. And my colleague is going to join in as a guest into the same meeting that we had. So I emailed him a meeting link, and he actually is going to join this meeting. And you'll see that it's going to actually come up with all the modalities. It's going to look exactly like, it's a different meeting, okay. That's, which one is it? Next. This one? Yeah. So while he changes the URL, because we changed our meeting from before, I didn't email him the right URL, you'll be able to see the rich meeting experience. And actually, once Boris is done with the URL and joining the meeting, I'd like to actually show you what I mean by bringing the experience together on all the platforms. So you already saw the Windows 8 user experience and what a rich, immersive experience that is. You saw me able to replicate that experience in my rich client as well. And now we're going to show you what that experience looks like when Boris joins this meeting using a browser as well. So I think Boris has figured out the right URL. He's typed it in. And we're going to join the meeting this time, hopefully the right meeting. Here we go. So Boris is now a guest in his own meeting. I think it's your meeting, yes. And now you're seeing him join with all the. So you see the video, you see the data session is coming up as well, and I think Boris can go to full screen here. Right here. Yeah, and he's going to start his video as well. So now you see Boris the guest who has his video, and with the full screen experience. So you're seeing exactly what it looks like in that space where we had the other clients as well. It looks very, very similar to that experience. So we're trying to replicate this user interface across so that users don't have to worry about that as well. So this is a browser join. Anybody can do it from outside the enterprise, inside the enterprise, whatever you do. Actually, in Microsoft, we now use the browser for a lot of the meeting experiences because there's no difference between the rich client and the browser as well. So with that, I think we're going to conclude. We're going to leave this up. I know people are collaborating here, and they're going to fool around for a little while. I'm going to stop here and see if there's any questions from the audience, or I understand this is being broadcast online. If there's any questions online, I'll be happy to take them. If you could just please step up to the microphone. There are no questions. That means it was a very good session and everybody understood everything. Yes, we have a question. Could you please step up to the mic? It's right behind the camera, sorry.
So the question about integration between PSTN or IP telephony and the link, can we use link with, for example, a via IP phone or similar as a integrated microphone and headphones? I mean, not just an external device that I could call, but like just like a you have a microphone. You understand?
Yeah. So the question is, can you have a integration with a via desk phone or other third party desk phone and so on? Is that the right IP telephony? Yes. So it's an interesting question, of which there are actually, you know, many answers. And I'm not going to get into the many permutations. I'll tell you one thing, right? The desk phone is one endpoint, right? Out of many endpoints that people now have for communications. So I, in this particular example, actually have three endpoints that I need. I have my Surface tablet, I have my mobile phone, I have my laptop. And I may also have a desk phone in my office. So out of the four or five endpoints that I have to communicate, the desk phone certainly is becoming the least important one because I'm in front of my desk phone a very little time. I use this as my primary device, and I use my laptop when I'm at home and I'm traveling and so on as one of my primary devices as well. The reason why what I'm saying is important is when you tie your communications capability to the desk phone, then you are limiting any other time that you're not at this desk phone. Even if you're in a conference room or in a different floor, in a colleague's office, at home, traveling, you're not able to leverage the functionality of the platform if you're not at the desk phone, which is a real shame. I would much rather be able to have the communication modality on all the other endpoints that I so choose, and not have it on my desk phone. So the answer is there are integration points that we can provide with other IP telephony systems. None of them include recommendations of controlling the desk phone, because once you start to control the desk phone, you're not able to leverage the rest of the capability of the platform as well.
Sorry, I mean to use it as is work. Simultaneously with a client. So I have a link installed on my PC, for example. I use it as for a chatting, for video calls, but the voice transferred through the IP phone integration.
Right.
In that case, is it work or not?
Yeah, so this is what I was talking about as well, right? So if you transfer your audio to the phone, then what happens when you're not in front of the phone?
No, it's... Yeah. Well, I can do it with headphones.
Yes.
But yes. I already have the device
right.
With the voice capability on my desk, so
right.
I don't need additional
agreed.
Headphones.
Really. Agreed.
And,
yes.
For example, at this time, I configure it our link like that. It called simultaneously on my phone and on a computer, and I can pick up the phone or I can pick up a headphones.
Yes.
In case I pick up the phone, I lost a window and a chat connection on the computer. And my question, can it be fixed?
No. So the answer, the short answer is no.
No. Okay.
Because what you're trying to do is you're basically redirecting all the media to the other IP telephony platform. And once you redirect media to the other IP telephony platform, there's nothing wrong with that. But just so you know, now you won't be able to have media control with Link, and you won't be able to leverage all the other functionality Link provides. So you can redirect the media. It's really highly unrecommended to do that, because we're trying to enable some more collaboration features. I hope that makes sense. Any other questions or thoughts? So the question is, what about video calls between Link endpoints and Skype endpoints? So it's a good question. We have a Skype federation for IM and presence and audio as part of our general availability features for Link 2013. Video is on our immediate roadmap. So I would assume in the next 6 months, 6 to 12 months, we will have the video federation with Skype and Link together as well. It's a great question. So the question is, and correct me if I'm wrong, will the Link 2013 client be available for previous Windows clients? For Windows Phone 7.5 or 7.8? The answer, unfortunately, to that is no, because the way we're delivering video on the mobile clients is through hardware acceleration, and Windows Phone 7.8 didn't support some of the things we're trying to do. So it's a Windows Phone 8 only client. But Windows Phone 8 is great. Any other thoughts or questions about Link in general, IP telephony, voice, video? No? Okay, well, that means thank you very much for your time. Appreciate your participation. If you have any questions, the team is here. We'd love to have your thoughts. Thank you very much.
Яркий новый интерфейс, который помогает добиваться целей.